Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. And welcome back. It's time for the special Hanukkah edition of the Jewish Experience. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, and you are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. And yes, folks, in a few moments, we'll be lighting the Hanukkah candles, and all of us here at the JE want to wish you and yours the happiest of Hanukkahs, and to remind you to remember what the holiday is all about. It's not about giving gifts. That's the holiday of Purim. What it is about is the miracle of how a small group of people standing up for freedom in God's Torah can defeat a huge army bent on destroying him. The lesson is, trust in God. Do what's right, and the Almighty will make any obstacle melt before you, and you will be victorious. When the Maccabees rededicated the temple, they had enough kosher oil to last for only one day in the temple menorah. But God made it last for 8 days, till more kosher oil was found. Hence, we celebrate Hanukkah by lighting a candle each night in our own menorahs to publicize the miracle. The parsha this week is Vayeshev. This is a very difficult portion to understand, all the dynamics at work. But in short, Yosef, or Joseph, was born to Rachel in last week's parsha, sold into Egyptian bondage by his jealous brothers. But as everything in life, this was divine providence, as Joseph will pave the way for the eventual descent by the Jewish people into Egypt, where they will stay for 400 years until the Holy One, blessed be He, will redeem them. And speaking of redemption, our staff is back to redeem you from the hectic Hanukkah and Shabbos chores by bringing you the best in educational Jewish radio with musical moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Mr. Vordelin. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. We'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news, fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. Special guest today is Dennis Reps, the director of the Commission on Law and Public Affairs. He will bring us important updates in the fight for rights in the workplace for observant Jews. Keep cooking and keep listening. And don't forget to take time now to make a resolution to support Jewish radio in Pittsburgh. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week for reduced rate. Send an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net or call us at 412-979-5770 and we'll let you in on all the details. If you want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Rabbi Yisrael Zorlo, and his story segment is sponsored by a Jewish cowboy offering Stetson hats. The community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. The popular feminine perspective is available for sponsorship, as is Rabbi Eisen's moment in Jewish history. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. Entire staff works hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we do rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift or a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770 or send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week. We're starting to move back up, even though it's only a minute. No later than 4:36 p.m.
Bye.
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refua Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Although Chanukah is celebrated for only 8 days in the year, its message and the message of the Chanukah lights are valid and compelling all year round. Two other important lights are the lights of the seven-branched menorah that was lit daily in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shabbos lights kindled in the Jewish home every Friday evening. There are three noteworthy points of distinction between the Chanukah lights and the other two lights. The Shabbos candles must be lit before sunset, and the lights in the Beis HaMikdash were lit even earlier. The Chanukah lights, however, must be kindled after sunset when it is already dark. The menorah of the Beis HaMikdash was inside. The place of the Shabbos lights is likewise indoors on the Shabbos table. The Chanukah lights, however, are to be kindled in such a place that their light should be seen outside. Finally, the lights of the Beis HaMikdash and of the Shabbos remain the same in number and are not increased, while the number of Chanukah lights are increased every night. The message of Chanukah is important and timely to all of us, but even more to those who live in surroundings with comparatively little Jewish activity. It is precisely in such circumstances that Chanukah offers a useful lesson. The lesson, which seems to be indicated by the Chanukah lights, is that we must not only light up the home, as do the Shabbos candles, and the synagogue and yeshiva, substituting for the sanctuary of old, but we have the additional responsibility of lighting up the outside, our social and business environments. Moreover, when conditions are unfavorable, it is dark outside. It is then not enough to kindle a light and maintain it, although this is also an achievement, for even a little light of Torah and mitzvahs can dispel a great deal of darkness, but it is necessary to increase the lights steadily. Through steadily growing efforts to spread the light of Torah and mitzvahs, these ever-growing efforts contain in themselves the assurance of ever-growing success.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, now it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
During the 1800s, laws were passed throughout the various German states granting equal rights to the Jews. They entered universities, the military, and all professions, achieving great success. Clearly, German culture exerted a very powerful pull on the Jews, as both groups shared a number of similar values, a strong sense of family, hard work, commitment to religion, and great respect for education. The Jews, however, never achieved full acceptance. In 1819, the Hep-Hep anti-Jewish riots broke out in a number of German cities. Hep, the battle cry of the rioters, is an acronym for the Latin words Jerusalem est perdita, Jerusalem is destroyed. A growing number of German intellectuals began preaching the idea of the German Volk, a mystical people based on an ancestral fatherland and common blood ties, which of course excluded the Jews. Richard Wagner, the famous German classical composer, wrote operatic music, the Ring Cycle, which harked back to a pagan Teutonic Germany untouched by Jewish culture. A century later, his music captivated the Nazis, as Adolf Hitler wrote, "Whoever wants to understand Nazi Germany must know Wagner." At the same time, the English-German writer Eustace Stuart Chamberlain wrote that Jews are a dangerous race, and his books found a wide audience in Germany. In 1879, a German journalist, Wilhelm Marr, founded the League of Anti-Semites to combat Jewish influence in Germany, thus coining the familiar phrase anti-Semitism. During the course of the 19th century, anti-Semitism grew dramatically in Europe, taking on the secular racist view that no amount of assimilation or conversion could change the inherent evil of the Jew. In the view of a prominent historian, when the ghetto walls fell and the Jews walked out into freedom, they found they were entering a new, less tangible, but equally hostile ghetto of suspicion. They had changed ancient disabilities for modern anti-Semitism. The idea that the more Jews would be like the Germans, the more they would be liked by the Germans, was so tragically disproved. Of course, this is the divine plan to ensure that the Jewish people would never totally assimilate. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a very happy and healthy Shabbos.
So there you have it. Thanks, Rabbi Eisen.
Gather round, hey, and begin, hey, for Hanukkah is here. Gather round, hey, and begin, hey, for Hanukkah is here. Light the candles in the dreidels and the round.
One for me and two or three for you. A miracle, a good, an escadol. Ayah, mungimel hey, mungimel hey or pay. Yellow candles, purple, gray, the luck has two. One for me and two or three for you. A miracle, a good, an escadol. Ayah, mungimel hey, mungimel hey or pay.
Let the dreidel spin, let it spin. Let the dreidel spin, let it spin, 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 turn it round.
dreidel, spin the dreidel round and round. Spin the dreidel, spin the round and round. And we're a cool, a cool, honest, a blue, a yeah. And in a day, and in a day or play. Light the candle, spin the dreidel round and round. Spin the dreidel, spin the round and round. A miracle, a cool, honest, a blue, a yeah. And in a day, and in a day or play. Let it spin, 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 turning round each day.
This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262. Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Ernie Singer with Israel National News.
This Shabbat, unusual in that it's the start of the eight-day holiday of Hanukkah, Hebrew for dedication, marking the return to worship in the temple in Jerusalem following a miraculous military victory by an outnumbered Jewish army led by the Maccabees over Greek Assyrians more than 2,100 years ago. The Greeks had defiled the temple in their attempt to compromise Jewish practice, and there was only a one-day supply of pure oil to burn the temple's eternal flame. The oil lasted a miraculous 8 days, with a number of special holiday foods cooked in oil serving as a reminder. Because of the violent history of the Maccabees, their book is not part of the written Bible, and the holiday is barely mentioned in the Talmud. For more on the holiday, listen to Torah Tidbits audio and other shows on IsraelNationalRadio.com. Leading rabbis leading prayers at the western wall of the temple Friday night, including special prayers for the health and safe return of three Israeli soldiers kidnapped by Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists this summer. Prayer is also being said for rain following a disastrously dry autumn after a wet October gave hope that winter rains would replenish Lake Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, as well as underground aquifers. A Jerusalem municipal engineer has warned that the ramp leading up to the Mugrabi Gate, the main entrance to the Temple Mount, serving tourists, security forces, and visitors, is in danger of collapse. The ramp has not been in use for more than 2 years, after part of it collapsed into the Western Wall's women's prayer compound in the winter of 2004. A makeshift wooden bridge was built above the ramp. However, after being used by thousands of people daily for almost 3 years, the bridge is beginning to wobble. Engineers of the Western Wall Heritage Foundation say that the bridge is in danger of falling down, and in a few months will no longer be safe. The PLO police declaring central Ramallah north of the capital a closed military zone after both Hamas and the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades announced they would hold rallies in the town following Friday noon prayers. Large security forces deploying across town, many businesses closing for fear of violent clashes during the parades. Tension rising between Hamas and Fatah hours after an assassination attempt on PLO Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas as he crossed the Egyptian border into Gaza. Hamas pointing a finger at PLO security consultant Mohammed Dahlan. Violence between the two groups on the uprise ahead of the weekend's expected announcement by Fatah leader Mahmoud Abbas that he is dissolving the Hamas-led PLO government and calling new elections. Citing a lack of staffing as the reason behind the failure to curb weapons smuggling into the Gaza Strip, Egypt plans to ask Israel to significantly increase the Egyptian border police force along the Philadelphia corridor in talks scheduled to be held between the two sides in the coming weeks, according to the Jerusalem Post. The sources say that at present the Egyptians are effective if given concrete intelligence information by Israel about where smuggling is taking place, but they don't take the initiative on their own. For instance, according to the sources, the Egyptians will not make random patrols in certain neighborhoods on the Egyptian side of the border to stake out a presence and act as deterrence. The sources say that unless there is an overall change in Egyptian policy, the passive approach won't change regardless of whether there are 750 additional troops near the border or 1,750. Religious Zionist high school yeshivas for boys and Ulpanut for girls have warned they will stage an unprecedented strike after the Hanukkah holiday because of a 60% budget cut by the finance ministry, according to the Religious Zionist weekly Besheva. The strike will involve 100,000 students throughout the country. Quoting Elkanan Glatt, executive director for B'nai Akiva schools, the cuts endangered the existence of several religious Zionist schools that already have been forced to lay off teachers and cut school hours. Haredi religious schools and other institutions will receive an allocation of 290 million shekels in return for their support of the 2007 Economic Arrangements Bill. Knesset Finance Committee Chairman and United Torah Judaism member Yaakov Litzman cutting a deal with the Treasury to pass the bill within 10 days. In order to get the job done, Litzman facing nonstop meetings throughout the week of Hanukkah. El Al Airlines has lost millions of dollars because of an unofficial boycott by the Haredi religious community, according to company representatives. An official boycott may make things worse. The dispute began after El Al flew on Shabbat, arguing that it was forced to do so on a one-time basis because a labor strike left thousands of travelers stranded at airports around the world. Hanukkah, Kaf Hei, the 25th of Kislev on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast clear to partly cloudy and colder through Shabbat. Temperatures going up Sunday, reaching warmer than average on Monday and Tuesday. In Jerusalem, Friday, 15 degrees centigrade, 59 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 22 degrees centigrade, 72 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
It's time for some Mazel Tovs on this special Hanukkah Miracle Edition of the Jewish Experience. Doctors Joel and Tova Weinberg on the birth of a granddaughter. Rabbi and Mrs. Yisroel Miller on the bar mitzvah of Daniel Asher. Mr. and Mrs. Yaakov Bloomberger on their daughter scoring first place in Jewish philosophy at the Sfas Seminary. And that's for girls headed by Rabbi and Mrs. Yosef and Rachel Leah Rosenfeld. Mr. and Mrs. Charlie Saul on the birth of a granddaughter. Mr. and Mrs. Yitzchak Shlomo on the birth of a grandson. And finally, Rabbi and Mrs. Ellie Rothman on the birth of a granddaughter. Mazel tov to everybody. Come and join a celebration on the evening of Saturday, December 16th, Motzei Shabbos Chanukah, at Congregation Beth Shalom in the Squirrel Hill section of Pittsburgh for a special festive live music and dancing celebrating Chanukah. Further information and tickets, please contact the synagogue office at 412-421-2288. Also, the UJF Mitzvah Day is December 25th, and they're asking you to just go out and help, you know, some people who may be short-staffed on that day, some of the agencies. Win a luxurious apartment in Jerusalem and support Jewish leadership in Israel. Tickets will be drawn on the eighth night of Hanukkah, so you have to hurry. It's an exciting raffle. Call 412-979-5770 for more information. The Breakfast Club Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. for men and women at the Kollel Jewish Learning Center. The Meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous Meeting, Shari Torah, every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's a long-term program that has been doing extremely well in the Squirrel Hill area. It's a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating or their weight. For more information, call Ilan at 412-422-2224. A number of exciting events are available this week at Yeshiva Schools for Hanukkah. Looking for a Hanukkah outing for the whole family? You can come and celebrate at Yeshiva School's annual Hanukkah Extravaganza. You can play games, eat great food, enter a raffle. Hanukkah Extravaganza is open to all and admission is free. So grab family and friends, and there's even dinner there. Go to Squirrel Hill to the Lubavitch Center at 2100 Whiteman Street on December 21st, Thursday evening. There'll be a carnival from 7 to 8:30 and a boutique from 6 to 9. Proceeds, they're going to benefit the Yeshiva Schools PTA. Any questions, please call Sipka Cowan at 412-422-4236. Also for Hanukkah, there'll be a Gala Hanukkah Parade. Over 50 vehicles with Hanukkah menorahs on their cars will be lit up and will be parading through the streets of Squirrel Hill and Shadyside, and this year culminating at the waterfront. And you can imagine all these cars crossing over the Homestead High-Level Bridge in the evening with the lights from Hanukkah. It's going to be a photograph that will last forever. The parade will be starting at 4 p.m. You don't want to miss it. Come on out, join, be part of the parade, and watch the parade. Tell your friends to watch the parade this Sunday, 4 p.m., starting at Yeshiva Schools. And, of course, if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call us at 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget candlelighting time this week, no later than 4:36 p.m. Okay, we'd like to welcome to the microphones this afternoon Dennis Reps, who is an attorney in New York and who is the executive director of the National Jewish Commission on Law and Public Affairs. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Commission on Law and Public Affairs has been around a long time. How long has it been around?
Since 1965, or thereabouts, 64, 65.
Yeah, I've heard about them for quite a while. Now, in that time, what was the formation of it? What was the purpose of it specifically?
Two general issues. One is the ability of observant Jews to have full-time employment,
mm-hmm.
And not lose their jobs on Monday when they couldn't stay late on Friday.
Sure.
It was very prevalent in, years ago. To deal with that issue. And second of all, there was the issue of aid to non-public education, to try and secure through the courts and through legislation the right of parents to get certain funding for the secular portion of their children's education in yeshivas, in order to get a fair share from the educational dollar that was being spent by government, secure legislation authorizing it, providing for it, and defending the concept, the practice in court in the face of challenges based on separation of church and state issues.
So, okay, so those, being those two the primary issues,
right.
and the amount of time, have you been the executive director during most of this period?
I started the end of 1970.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was full time until several years ago.
So give us an idea of some of the typical things you do in this area, maybe some of the cases that you've worked on.
Well, it broadened. The issues, the list of things, the areas that we focused on broadened tremendously beyond those two that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
By far the most, the issue that took up most of our time was the issue of Shabbos. Involved getting administrative agencies to issue regulations protecting Shomer Shabbos on the job, then branched out into issues of dress, people with beards, Chiddush garb, yarmulkes. We dealt with issues of the Shabbos issue broadened also for college entrance examinations, professional licensing exams, the law boards, the GREs, those kinds of things. All these tests were generally given on Shabbos.
Sure.
And on occasion on Yom Tov, and so we needed an accommodation. And then we also branched out into issues like autopsies. We were able to get legislation passed for the first time anywhere in the world, in New York. And basically, the integrating concept that we adopted was to fashion a reasonable accommodation for our people, that when our needs, religious-based needs, conflicted with standard societal practices.
Right.
A typical example is the Shabbos issue, where the usual job description is 9 to 5, 5 days a week, and then, in the winter months, you have to leave early.
Right.
They say, well, we're not discriminating against you, but everybody has to work till 5.
Right.
And, if we make an exception for you, not only are we not discriminating against you, but we're also discriminating against other employees.
Sure.
And basically, we turned the issue of the concept of discrimination on its head. The concept was, you can't treat us differently than anybody else. And we're saying, no, you have to treat us differently than anybody else. And not only is it permissible, but it's also required. And we were able to get a series of legislative enactments, ultimately in the federal government. And there were, different types of issues, make-up time, are you entitled to make-up time that you take off through this observance, or is it just an issue of they can't refuse to let you go, but, if you lose money because you're not there, you're not there. I mean, it's just the way it works. And as I said, autopsies and the burials on legal holidays, all across the board, everything that we, all of our practices, which require a variation from what society does generally, like autopsies, for example. The issue is classic. Typically unexplained deaths are subject to autopsies, logically to determine why the person expired.
That's fine, right.
But when it can't, that's a standard societal practice. But in our situation, there were occasions when this was not permitted under Jewish law. And the question is whether there could be protection. And we worked out with some senior poskim, and they told us what we were allowed to compromise and what we're not. And in New York, was the landmark legislation, and that radiated out into several jurisdictions around the country. And And today, certainly in New York, it's largely a problem of the past.
That's great. And talking about something more specific to this city, which is kind of why you're on the program today on Erev Chanukah and Erev Shabbos, is we had a gentleman that was applying for a position with a local institution. I don't want to get too specific, but he was told that it was a position that was normally 9 to 5, but did have a rotation. It was a kind of a customer service thing that could be on the Sabbath. And they asked him about that, and he said he couldn't do that, and he said he didn't get a call back. So, and he's wanting to pursue it, and I did give him your number. Hopefully he'll do that at some point. But the key is here, is that something, knowing up front, before he takes the job, that he would have to work, possibly have to work on a Saturday. Would that be something you get involved in, seeing that he could possibly switch off with people? I mean, there would be ways probably to get around that.
Well, the point is that employers cannot just simply, you know, assert a schedule that effectively discriminates without doing anything more. Mm-hmm. The test is whether or not it would cause what the statute refers to as an undue hardship.
Okay.
The federal statute. And that's been subject to interpretation, and I don't want to get into specifics because each case is different.
Sure.
But it's you know, the employee would have a leg up to pursue something if there was not an attempt, no attempt to
right.
to work out something. Because keep in mind that there is another consideration. Somebody who takes a job who's not Jewish, for example, not a Sabbath observer, and accumulates a certain amount of seniority, and now a new employee comes in with no seniority and who has a particular need, a Sabbath-based need to be off, and a religious-based need to be off on the Sabbath, and says, well, you got to make way for me. You got to cover for me. And I said, I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's America. I don't want to. So that's the paradigm. But it's the kind of thing that that courts have required pretty much that employers make some effort to see if there's an accommodation. And keep in mind, in many instances, in my experience, in many instances, employees who want Sunday off would
right.
be very willing to trade a Saturday for a Sunday.
Sure. Sure.
So it's okay. I mean, it's sometimes it's not possible, but sometimes it is.
Okay, now, let's talk about for a second the reach of culpa. Would you, as an executive director of this group, come to Pittsburgh, let's say there was an issue here, to do this, or would you find an attorney here and direct him in solving this problem?
Well, we had we have a list of attorneys, cooperating attorneys around the country. We would try to, make a shidduch between an attorney and somebody who has a problem and see if they can help. That's basically where it would work out. And by the way, don't forget, there are local human rights agencies, and a person can file a complaint. And, generally speaking, the majority of the states, many states, I should say, have local enactments requiring accommodation for Shabbos, on the job, a Sabbath observance on the job. And also, of course, there's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the federal agency which governs workplace, the administration of the workplace statutes. And that certainly is a recourse anywhere in the country.
Sure, but are they up on these Sabbath observance?
Oh, sure.
Nuances?
They have they have regulations, and they administer the statute, and they have experience.
Okay. All right. Another couple of quick questions before we run out of time. I retired from the Navy, but while I was in it, right in the middle of my career, there was an issue of wearing the kippah in the military,
right.
And I was right in the middle of that. Now there was a lot of things back and forth. There was appeals, and there was Supreme Court rulings, and then there was Lautenberg putting it in the Defense Appropriations Bill, and so forth. Was Culpa involved in any of this?
Sure. That was we brought the case to the Supreme Court, drafting of the statute that ultimately, prevailed.
Right. It seemed like in the end of all these back and forth things, you know, Frank Luttenberg essentially put it as a rider on the Defense Appropriations Bill, and that's how they.
Right.
Were able
it was, to... There was an interesting sidebar. I mean, I don't know if I'm responding to that, but you know, one of the justices, what we had provided that the argument in the Supreme Court provided a military yarmulke, you know, khaki yarmulke.
Right.
Which,
yeah, I saw that.
Into Justice Brennan. And he put it on, and then in the course of the conference that the when the court was considering the case, and then he forgot to take it off, and he was walking around wearing the yarmulke.
That's beautiful.
You know, Justice Brennan there afraid to tell him. It's quite exciting. It was a classic story going around the Supreme Court at the time.
Just before we wrap this up, I just want to give people an opportunity to get in touch if they do have any questions concerning anything that has to do with. Observance and religion in the workplace. How do they get?
Clash when religious based needs, as I said before, clash with what society expects of people or the way society is run. What we try to do is fashion a reasonable accommodation of the two different interests, and you know, with goodwill, things work out. The whole world has changed.
Sure.
Whereas before, people were aghast. What do you mean you got to leave early in this country? But they leave. The world didn't come to an end, and in fact, they once you get through the front door, typically our people have been able to. You know, to excel, and they make money for the employers. The employers now look forward to it.
Sure.
Companies that before, large companies that before were aghast, as I said, they would never. What do you mean? How can we make an exception? Now they look for people that have these special needs because they're great workers.
Sure.
Great employees. So they can, if they have these kinds of problems in these areas, give me a call at, or call better call at 212-314-6384.
Okay, it's 212-314-6384?
Right.
Okay, great. Well, Dennis, I appreciate you being with us. This has been Dennis Reps, who's the Executive Director of the National Jewish Commission on Law and Public Affairs. And have a Freilich and Hanukkah and a good and Shabbos. And thank you again for being with us.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
time to take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
Perception. It's all how you look at it. Take a look at this example. My brother was learning about the symbols for the Democratic and Republican parties. The Democrats say that the donkey is homely, smart, and courageous, while the Republicans regard them as stubborn and silly. The Democrats say that the elephant is pompous and conservative, while the Republicans say they're dignified, strong, and intelligent. Discussing this, I can totally understand how you can get such different views of the same animal. It all depends on how you want to look at it. This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayeshev. Now, Parshas Vayeshev is full of intriguing episodes about which one can say terrible things. How could the tribe sell their brother as a slave? How could Yosef tattle on his brothers? If you look at the stories, it's very easy to get them misinterpreted. But that's the beauty of having a teacher. When you hear about something that sounds strange, you can always find the truth in the interpretations of our holy sages. Everything in the Torah must be looked at and studied at from all angles. Otherwise, you can get the wrong idea, chas v'shalom. One of the things we learn about is the birth of Peretz and Zarach, the children of Yehuda and Tamar. As with any twin birth, everyone likes to see how similar the children are, as well as their differences. The Sefer HaBahir compares them to the sun and the moon, Zarach to the sun and Peretz to the moon. The sun is a source of constant light. It alludes to the tzaddikim, the righteous ones, because they serve Hashem constantly without failure. The moon, which waxes and wanes, represents the Baal Teshuvah, the one who does the wrong thing sometimes, but sincerely regrets and repents. Mashiach, the Redeemer of Yisrael, comes from the family of David, who is a descendant of Peretz. Mashiach is the epitome of Teshuvah, for it is written that he will even get tzaddikim to do Teshuvah. The name Peretz, to break or force, is similar to the verse Peritzas Geder, the breaking of all boundaries. Mashiach will be the one to break the boundaries and enable us to do Teshuvah. Take a look at the circumstances surrounding the twins' birth. Peretz was the firstborn, but Zarah's hand emerged first. This symbolizes that the Baal Teshuvah is on a higher level than that of a tzaddik, but that one should always strive to be on the level of a tzaddik. Let's take a look at another often misunderstood situation. Potiphar's wife tried to get Yosef to have relations with her. When he refused, she screamed and claimed that Yosef had attacked her. Because of this, Yosef was put in prison, and his name was ruined. At first glance, her actions seemed despicable, but Rashi takes a different look. He says that her actions were pure. She wanted to do this because she knew that Yosef's children were supposed to come from her, and she wanted to fulfill this. But she didn't know that this was referring to her daughter Asnas, who later married Yosef and had Ephraim and Manasseh. Rashi praises her for this, saying that even though she lived amongst the Egyptians, she still tried to keep her intentions correct. What a powerful lesson in judging others. You know, one can say, "Ay, we're suffering in exile. How could Hashem do such a thing?" Or, "Hashem, I realize you put me in this situation for a reason. Help me do the best I can." It all depends on how you want to look at it. Have a good Shabbos.
Oh, shit. בשיבוד מלכותך ובידו הגדולה הוציא את הסגולה חיפרו בכל זרו ירדו כאבן
for another classic story from Rabbi Meir Goldwasser. Today's story is sponsored by a Jewish cowboy, Western PA's only Jewish hatter. Call 412-551-6749. 412-551-6749. And now, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The Talmud Yerushalmi tells of the following happening. Once, when the earth was parched, the people of Eretz Yisrael looked for the winter rains. But day after day, there was not a single cloud in the sky. It was already midwinter by the calendar, yet not a drop of rain had fallen. There was fear that the coming year would bring famine. Then, one night, it was revealed to the sages in a dream that if a certain donkey driver was to pray for his people, Hashem would heed his cry and send rain. The following morning, the sages met and sent for him. He came and stood before them, a simple and humble man who earned his living by transporting goods or, occasionally, people on his donkeys. "How do you earn your bread?" they asked. He told them what he did. "Tell us," they inquired further, "have you ever done any especially worthy deed?" He bowed his head in simple modesty, and after a moment's hesitation said, "Perhaps yes. Some time ago, a woman came to me asking that I transport her to a certain city. She was bent over and had her covered face with a handkerchief. I guessed that she had been weeping. 'Is anything wrong?' I asked her. At first, she was reluctant to speak to a stranger, but upon my insistence, she said that her husband had been imprisoned by the Romans for not paying his taxes. He would languish in jail, perhaps even die from the ill treatment, if she did not help him. That is why she wished to go to the city. She might find help there. I felt very sorry for her. But how could I help her? I did not possess such a large sum of myself. I lived by what I earned day by day. But suddenly an idea struck me. I owned several donkeys, one of which was an excellent pack animal and worthy of a lot of money. I decided that I would sell the donkey to a friend of mine who had his eye on the beast and had offered me a huge sum for it. I told the woman to wait until I returned. I sold the donkey and brought her the money. She was overjoyed, to be sure, for this was enough to free her husband. He fell silent, having concluded his story. Is this what they had wanted to hear? He looked at them questioningly. The sages said, truly, that is a worthy deed. We want you to pray for rain, for it has been revealed to us that your prayers will be answered. The donkey driver began praying, and lo, the heavens opened up, and blessed rains fell on the earth, quenching the parched fields, and filling the water cisterns with enough water for a long time to come. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we wrap up another special Hanukkah edition of the Jewish Experience radio program, a couple of reminders. Saturday, December 16th, Motzei Shabbos, Hanukkah, Congregation Beth Shalom for a special evening of festive live music and dancing. UJF Mitzvah Day, December 25th. Also, a raffle for a luxurious apartment in Jerusalem and supporting Jewish leadership in Israel. Call 412-979-5770. Breakfast Club Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. for men and women at the Kollel Jewish Learning Center. Meeting of Food Addicts Recovery Anonymous, Sherry Terrace, Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30. Call Ilana, 412-422-2224. And don't forget to call us if you want your Mazel Tovs on our program, 412-979-5770, or email us at jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And as the Hanukkah and Shabbos approaches, I want to be sure to thank our special guest, Mr. Dennis Reps, who is the Executive Director of the National Commission on Law and Public Affairs, for his timely insight. And, of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Mr. Vordelin, and our honorary Jewish engineer, Jeremy Bossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, no later than 4:36 p.m. It's been fun, but I'm done. Till next week, I'm Hirsch Delin. Have a Freilich and Hanukkah and a restful Shabbat.
Shalom. Shabbat. Shalom. Malachi Elyon, Malachi.